Hello, everybody, and thank you for tuning in to the Liberty Report. With us today is Daniel McAdams, our co-host. Daniel, good to see you.
Good morning, Dr. Paul. How are you?
Doing well, doing well.
We're in good moods today?
Yeah, we're going to find something that even if somebody might complain and don't like what's going on, there's always somebody going to try to dump water on our little system. But we're going to call it good news with caution.
Yeah.
And that has to do with, We've talked to the governor of Texas about him. He hasn't talked to us yet. And you tend to mention him more than I do because I'm such a nice guy.
That's right.
So you've been after him and you've had your way. He has been listening to you. And all of a sudden he calls up, talks to you, and he says, Mr. Governor, just kidding, of course. Well, the governor announced yesterday, and he made the news, we shouldn't be cynical. We'll just say the people are waking up, and they sent a message to the governor, and they said to the governor, be more like the governor of Florida and the governor of South Carolina. Let's lighten up on this thing. So he did. He made the announcement yesterday that the lockdown will change. And it's, the headline is really pretty good. Texas ends COVID mask mandate, lifts all antivirus restriction, allow all businesses to reopen, unless there's an exception to it. And there's probably an exception to it because I know you read the actual release, his statement on this, and that was put out by their executive clerk of the governor. The governor sent it out. So this is, but it's to me good news.
Yeah.
And because I think it's momentum. Momentum is what counts. When the enemy was building up the momentum to describe disaster was coming next week and everybody was going to die from COVID, you know, and that sort of thing, the momentum, once it got started, it couldn't stop, it spread worldwide. And there were still questions about, you know, how serious it was, how many people really died, you know, from COVID. So this to me is an opportunity for a little bit of momentum in the other direction that, you know, maybe COVID wasn't quite as bad as they said, and more states are doing this. I think we're up to 16 states now that have been backing off. And the other part of the good news is the people who were the most ruthless in dealing with civil liberties, they're in the biggest amount of trouble.
Yeah.
So it did have something to do with what's happening here. And I think it's an example of when the people speak, the politicians have to listen. They hide it, they get around it, and they lie to us, and they get away with so much. But there's an ultimate time, and usually it takes a lot of work. Stopping a war usually takes a lot of time and a lot of pain and suffering to get the government and the politicians to listen to the people. In this case, I would say that our governor in Texas has finally listened to the people. And I think it's great, but we have to wait and see because sometimes there's loopholes. And I imagine you have taken a look at this and might put out a little warning at least.
Yeah, I think what this is really, there are two aspects. There's two ways to look at what happened yesterday. One is a focus on victory and the other is a focus on justice. And I think to focus on victory, you'd have to say this is a victory for those of us who the past year have said, don't lock down the state, don't lock down the country, don't force businesses to close, don't deprive people of their ability to make a living. This is sort of really, and I've talked about it before, I think in a speech once, but this is the chinking on the Berlin Wall, then the wall will fall, and the wall did fall. Focusing on justice is a little different because there are a lot of questions and there are recriminations that remain. But first, before we look into that, I do want to go into some of the fine print because I want to say, yes, on the focus on victory, we should be celebratory. But there are other things to look at. Let's look at this first. Now, this is Abbott's claim. He had a big tweet yesterday, and he looked really good. I just announced Texas is open 100%, everything. I also ended the statewide mask mandate. That sounds good, and it's a good-looking tweet. However, it doesn't take effect until next Wednesday, and you got to wonder why you have to wait a week. But let's look a little bit at the fine print. I read the executive order pretty carefully, and let's look at one which is annoying. He said this is one of the whereas clauses. Whereas COVID-19 hospitalizations and COVID-19 cases have steadily declined due to ... and the use of face coverings, there's a problem because if he wants to claim that his mandate on face coverings actually made a difference in the trajectory of the disease in Texas. He is mistaken. And here's the next one, the next sort of red flag that comes up, which bothers me about it. This is after the whereas. These are the resolution clauses. Individuals are strongly encouraged to wear face coverings over the nose and mouth. So he basically still saying, yeah, you got to, the face masks are good. I'm just not going to mandate it. And that's important. The other aspect to it that I think is and I didn't do a clip on it, is that he did kick the ball down to the county judges, and a lot of them are really bad. If the hospitalizations start to go up, they can put in mandates on their own. So you're going to have places like San Antonio area, Austin area, Houston, a total disaster. So that is of some concern. But I want to look, just my final thing in this segment, Dr. Paul, I want to look at this because it can't go unchallenged. You can't take credit for the face mask doing anything at all in Texas. Because let's look at the next one. This is the chart. These are actual facts. Texas and California with face mask mandates, and Georgia and Florida without them. The disease trajectory on total COVID cases per million is virtually identical. If his mandate did anything, you would see Texas looking very different. And then the next one here, this is about mask mandates and masks. And the compliance in Texas was very high 80s. Here's July 2nd, the Texas mask mandate. Look at that summer bump, seasonal flu bump. And then you see the winter flu bump again in daily deaths per million in Texas after the mandate. So it didn't do anything at that point to prevent it. So he can't get away. He shouldn't get away. And we'll come back to it later, I think. Right now, we'll celebrate our victory. Maybe we'll drink a margarita on the stage. But eventually, unless you want to open yourself up for him to be able to do it again, he can't take credit for these having anything to do with it.
Yeah, and I think what I see there is the reinforcement of some science that has been known for a long time and has been ignored or purposely rejected, and that is with herd immunity. I mean, how can they get everything to work just perfect like this when everything is erratic? Treatment is erratic, and lockdowns have been erratic, but everything, there's this line, and that to me looks like it's a natural occurrence, and also, when you look at the number of people dying and the number of cases now, it's gone through a cycle, and it's pretty evident. So you're absolutely right. For politicians to take credit, that's sort of like praying that the hurricane doesn't hit us and the hurricane misses. See?
I did it.
See, I got that hurricane to go someplace else. So I think this is good, but the momentum thing is, the big thing, if people realize that this is what happened, just think of how many people have been silent on it. Yeah. They haven't been gung-ho. The people who are gung-ho are the Faucis of the world, yeah, and the politicians, and Bill Gates and some other politicians. But even the people in Congress, and I know a couple who are still there, there's so many people that go along with it because they just don't want to take it on.
Yeah.
There's the political thing, and why you lose so much energy doing it and fighting the mask and all this. But I think now the momentum is going to be in the other direction. I don't think they're going to wait till next Wednesday.
Yeah.
And I don't think we should talk about next Wednesday,
yeah,
too much. I was like, hey, look at what
over.
He did. I'm going to read these announcements that this is where we're going. So I predict that the restaurant attendance will actually go up this weekend, a long time before Wednesday gets here, and the people will just know they're going to enjoy it. It's so much more freedom, to act. And I think people, and I have a good insight to this, people who have hesitated and not gone to the doctor, just because of the atmosphere.
Yeah.
And I think all of a sudden you're going to see a lot more people wanting to actually talk to their doctor in person.
Yeah.
So that's going to change. It's not only going to be a restaurant, but it will be professionally. For going to see physician. And I think that's all good. I think the momentum is strong, but and going in the right direction. But it doesn't mean that it's over. They've declared. Some people essentially have said it's over. It's over. And I hope they're right.
Yeah.
I really think this is a big deal. But it also means that it's a big deal. deal for other people if they lose control of this. The people who were motivated to put so much effort into the vaccines and the lockdown and the political investment that they have made. I mean, just think of how determined you'd think. Some of them are coming around and they're changing, like a habit's changing mine. But Cuomo, I don't think anything would change his mind.
Maybe a jail term.
he's just so determined. So time will tell, but I think it's a good step in the right direction.
And I think one of the good things about the executive order, and there's a section where he basically says, nothing in this order will prevent businesses from requiring face masks to go in.
Yeah, right.
And that's what we've said before. And what that does is it, because the evil, the insidiousness of his original executive order was that he put all the enforcement on the businesses. He basically told the businesses to act like cops. And now he's saying you can act like businesses again. And now the beauty of this, I think, is that the market will finally start speaking again. And I already saw one of my favorite restaurants in Houston, Pondicherry, which is an Indian restaurant. They said, we don't care what Abbott said, we're going to continue to mandate masks in our restaurant. If that's the case, they may find that they have a lot less customers. The guy next door may open up and say, come in without a mask. So that's a good part about it, I think. And I think the market will eventually
win. You know, it'll be the whole idea of people challenging their neighbors and their friends and their strangers, why don't you have your mask on? I think that's going to change a little bit, but I don't think it's going to go away. But the argument becomes better. You know, the argument that should be used is that, they say, why don't you have your mask on? I said, well, if masks are good, you wear it and you take care of it. Just don't make me do it because of this. And then you have the argument that they're starting to recognize this, or they wouldn't be changing the rules. They're recognizing that if you wear your mask because you want to, that's your right.
Yes.
And if you think it helps, that's it. So I think the challenging, hopefully, will not be so vicious as it has been. This idea of insulting a stranger or picking on a kid or something like this, and that to me, I think is going to change, and maybe we'll come back to a more sensible approach to it.
Well, you know, our local HEB, I know you don't go in there too much, but they have a lot of young people working there. It's kind of a young people's place to work, and it's been so sad to see them with these masks on this past year, especially young people. So I will be really happy one day when I walk in there and don't see anyone in a mask, unless they want to, of course. I'm going to do a couple more clips, Dr. Paul, because one segment I wanted to talk about is how the bitterness does remain, even with the opening up. And let's look at this next tweet. Everyone going to remember Shelley Luther. She ran a beauty salon. They told her to shut it down. She said, I can't do that. I got to feed my family. And so she opened it back up, and they sent her to jail for 7 days for doing that. This is a tweet that she put out yesterday. We should never thank someone for giving back something that should never have been taken in the first place. And that is a good point. The state picks and chooses which businesses can fail and which ones can succeed, and that's always wrong. But the other thing is interesting is the political fallout. We know that we said this all along, not denying the virus, but the lockdowns and such were used as a political weapon against Trump and against Trump's reelection. We know that. But what happened with Abbott is he pandered to the people that absolutely hate his guts and will never, ever vote for him no matter what he does. He listened to them while at the same time alienating his base, small business people, medium business people, conservatives. So he's actually, I think, finding himself in a real political mess because he, I think, was very ambitious and was thinking of himself as a presidential possibility. He went down to Florida to CPAC last week, you remember, and he thought he was going to ride in on a white horse. It turns out the person who stole the show was our favorite governor at the moment, or second favorite, DeSantis, who came in there bragging about, in a good way, hey, we never closed down Florida, and look, we're doing really well. And so here comes Abbott, you know, slinking in there, and it turns out in the straw vote poll, Abbott got 0%, and DeSantis did very well. So I think he might have felt a little bit of the political change in wind, and that may have something to do with his decision.
Well, I mentioned briefly some of the ones that have joined, and there's definitely more governors now than before, because we do know about Florida led the charge, and as well as South Dakota. But there are others now that have gone along and have done the same thing because that politically it's beneficial, and I think that's healthy. That means they're not quite as as forward-looking and principled in some of the things, but if it comes by the pressure, that means the information that the people are endorsing in general is very good. And whether you have a consensus by the people for freedom versus socialism, that's a big deal, yeah. Even though neither one would have their leaders. You always have the leaders, so the DeSantis of the world and Noam, they're leaders on this. But there are now 16 states, and Montana is interesting because they just elected a new governor, and he had already opened up. You can't call him just a Johnny-come-lately.
Yeah.
That's what he probably ran on. He was there because he quickly changed things. So there's a lot of the states now that have moved in that direction. At the same time, you still have the East Coast and the West Coast with some people that just haven't figured it out, you know.
And I think it's going to be a race to do this. And I want to do a couple more tweets because I just, you know, you look at the reaction of people. Here's Kristi Noem. Let's look at this next tweet. You're doing the right thing, Greg Abbott. The media is attacking you because they can't allow freedom to succeed. It would disprove their entire agenda. Now, Governor Noem has it good because she never put these things in place in the first place. So she doesn't have to face as much fault. She doesn't realize, and this reminds me of the story of your career. You never had to explain yourself because you were always consistent. You know, you never had to say, well, I'm going to have go ahead and flip-flop on this because the winds have changed in my district. You know, and I think if Abbott had followed that philosophy, which Noem did as well, and at least in this case, he would have had a lot less problem in the first place. Dr. Paul, I hate to say there's one person who's not happy. Let's look at this next tweet, or this next clip. We can't go without talking about her. Our old favorite, Lena Hidalgo, the 29-year-old judge of Harris County. She is furious. She says, guess what? I don't care what Abbott says. I'm begging you, everyone in Harris County, keep wearing that mask. Keep staying away from each other and stay home. And I looked, she had a tweet where she said this, and I have to say it is depressing because if you look at what people were commenting under the tweet, I will continue to wear mine even after vaccinated. Currently, it just makes sense. You're doing the right thing. I'm not going to stop my double masking. I'll put masks on my grandkids and social distance.
Okay.
Yep, I'll be wearing two masks and avoiding stores. I didn't stay home for a year to mess it up now, so unfortunately, the psychosis runs pretty deep and people are going to follow her.
And you know, she's doing this purposely, but I am convinced that she's not doing this to ruin her political career.
Yeah.
She's doing it with the expectation that she's going to be more popular than ever. So I think the results will work out, as in soon we'll find out, you know, what happens. But they just can't possibly think this is good politics, but they do. They think it is, and they've been locked in, and they've been encouraged. So we're going to see that change, I think.
Yeah, well, she's in a bubble in Houston. It's a very left-wing town, and she may find, but if she has larger ambitions, which I'm sure she does, she may find herself on the wrong side of the shifting winds of change.
Okay, we want to talk about one other governor. It's been in the news right now. She's been in the news. She's not one of our favorite, and that's Whitmer, you know, in Michigan. And she's also in trouble over the virus and how she's reporting. In a way, she's being accused of doing some of the things that Cuomo's done. And then some of the critics have said, well, she more or less knew exactly what he was doing, and she was sort of, when Cuomo did it, she did it, because Cuomo was a giant, you know. He was smart and tough, and he was a governor of the big state, you know, this sort of thing. So she also got into trouble because in the same way Cuomo, of fudging the numbers.
Yeah.
And this is what fascinates me. At the beginning of all this, and the statistics did show that the use of the diagnosis of positive COVID tests, they meant that they had the coronavirus, and then they got more money. And everybody knows that. They don't hear that too much, but so the numbers were slanted toward getting as many out there as you can because you got bigger reimbursements. And now, what Cuomo is accused of doing, what they're suggesting she did the same thing, is they hide the number of people who are dying.
Yeah.
And they don't even want it reported. So, the argument about who has it and what the diagnosis is secondary to what she was doing.
Yeah.
I mean, what she was doing is sometimes considered illegal.
Yeah.
And the one individual in Michigan lost his job over this, got a bonus as he left out the door. But she's on the ropes, and I think Michigan, you know, one thing about Michigan, I had been in there quite a few times over the years, and I always had the greatest welcome. And I thought, well, this is a liberal state. And
yeah.
I thought, well, is it they like my independence? Or not? No, it isn't. It wasn't that at all. That when you have, I think this happened in New York too. You go in and you're talking a message, you can get a nice crowd out, but it's sort of the remnant.
Yeah,
and they come out and they're enthusiastic because they never hear the message. And I think that's what happens in Michigan. There's a lot of good people there, but just right now, up for a long time now, they've been in a minority. And one of these days, they'll overstep their bounds, and maybe that's what's happening here, that she's overstepping her bounds, and maybe that state will shift in general philosophy more toward a free society.
Well, you know, at the time, she really thought she was going to be chosen to be VP for Biden, so she went along with the program, you know, lock down, lock everything down. She's a nutcase who said you couldn't even buy seeds for your garden because you had to stay home. Now she, as you say, she is in hot water, and I'm sure she's looking very nervously at New York because she also forced sick people into the nursing homes. She also had a huge amount of nursing home deaths, just like Cuomo did. And as you suggest, she may have actually covered up the level of nursing home deaths as Cuomo now is finding himself in hot water for having done. So we'll see how that goes there. I was going to finish up my part with a couple of things.
Ahead.
If we can skip forward to the Gavin Newsom tweet, I just want to hit on this for just a second. It's probably a couple ahead of what I had. There we go, thank you. And now here's Gavin Newsom. He's commenting on the news that Abbott is ending the mask mandate. Two words, absolutely reckless. How dare he? This is what Newsom said. Well, hold on a minute then. If the mask mandate is working so well, let's look at the next clip. Why has California done so badly? California is up there on the top. It's not a great chart for visiting, for viewing, but it's the green. California is way up there. And look at Florida. Florida is the orange one way down at the bottom. So Florida with no masks in terms of hospitalization and deaths is way down, and California is way up. So if masks are so great, and if it was absolutely reckless to end the mandate, how does he explain this chart? You know, how does he explain it? And let's look at the final chart, and I'll end with my charts. But here's the United States. Here's the mask compliance. And they would say, oh, it's going on so long because no one's wearing the mask. No, that's not the case. A Harris poll on October 22nd showed it across the United States, 93% mask compliance. I think the goal was only in the 70 percentile range. So massive compliance, and then look what happened to the cases. That's called the seasonal virus, seasonal flu, and went way, way up. The masks, who can argue that the mask prevented that from happening?
But the one thing is, if it makes them feel better, we're going to say, just go ahead and do it.
Just
unless
do it.
Unless they come to visit your house and you say, we don't wear masks in our house.
Yeah.
So I'm going to mention an extra point here because I found it fascinating. It makes a point, too. And this has to do with the French
yeah.
health workers. And the article says half of the French home health workers say they'll resist taking the vaccine.
Huh.
But it's probably for free. There's, you know, and everybody's taking it, and America's leading the charge, and lots of vaccines out there. Take a pick and choose your one. But this is amazing that this is not the first article along this way. Other health workers have done the same thing, and some specifically who worked, in dealing with COVID patients.
Yeah.
So that. This is probably not something you can cite as scientific, but it certainly is interesting enough. People ought to keep an eye on that and check it out and see if the numbers pan out. And why would this be? Because this is a political statement, if nothing else. I mean, and I would say that the people who are more cautious about lockdown and the virus and all that, like in our group, we certainly don't have their attention. It's the propagandists that want to pump them up and scare everybody that are saying, you know, how important it is and you have to do these things. But these people are the health workers and seeing them, and they do have examples of what they've seen. But, you know, the other factor that would be hard to work into this is the more socialized a country's medicine is, the worse it is. And actually, when this whole thing broke out, which was pumped up out there, we became more socialistic. I mean, medicine is very socialistic, and that makes it harder to treat major problems. So even though we're probably not as socialistic as some of the European countries, it is still another item in there and why people might not be doing as well. But it's also very interesting that the health workers dealing with these people said they're giving an opinion about the vaccine. You know, so it's early for that. Of course, maybe they read the story about what the vaccinations did in 1976, when it was a total failure. More people died from the vaccine than they did from the virus.
Yeah, I see. Well, I'm all done, Dr. Paulovich, if you want to close.
Okay, and I want to close with just thanking our viewers for tuning in today, because we did have this upbeat report that Texas has lightened up. I was always so disappointed, and I'm not overly confident yet, disappointed that Texas reputation took a hit. And people would comment, especially if they lived in another part of the country or the world, I didn't think Texas was like this. I thought you were better than this. And so maybe this will reverse that. And it's probably that fact that probably motivated Abbott to change his tune a little bit. So people can change their tune. And I think that one thing that you have to remember is tyranny is contagious. And it was certainly, we witnessed a whole year where tyranny was the biggest epidemic ever. And the worst thing happened because it didn't end well. But freedom is also contagious. And that is what's great. And it'll spread. It spreads by word of mouth. And that's what we're witnessing here. We're seeing people are finally saying, I want my freedom. I don't need to be told when to wear a mask outdoors when I'm at the beach and by myself walking in the mountains. It just got too extreme. So people are voting for freedom, and they're voting against those who would use tyranny, you know, to pretend that they're solving problems. At the same time, they're trying to feather their own political nest. I want to thank everybody for tuning in today to the Liberty Report. Please come back soon.